Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to part two. We are discussing Fear with Gizzy Erskine and Fat Tony.
With Fear, I think I meant more the education. So I was brought up by my dad, and we weren't poor. We did not go without. My dad was a skilled manual labourer. Yes, we lived in a council house, but we bought it, thanks to Margaret Thatcher. And my dad dug a swimming pool in the back garden with a JCB. You know, we had a conservatory. But I was still brought up to think, life's shit, it'll be shit, and you'll probably finish it with nothing. That's the mantra. Life shit, it'll be shit, you'll finish it with nothing. Yeah. Because we're scum, so we go back to scum. That he didn't use those words, but that's the what was put into me. Regardless of, this is where I think class is so complicated, because it ain't really about wedge. You look at me, I'm fucking absolutely like doing so well at stand-up. But I still feel like I'm more comfortable in Wetherspoons than the Chiswick Arms.
Yeah. I agree with you. I struggle with that whole thing. I come from a council estate in Battersea, and you know, we always lived in council houses, and my dad was a plumber. I was horrified when my mum got a job at Buckingham Palace because I thought people were going to think we were posh. My mum worked as a cleaner there for years and years and years, and every time she said to someone, "I work at Buckingham Palace," I was like, "Don't, they're going to think we're rich. They're going to think we're rich." You know, sometimes I find myself doing these jobs with society people, royals, for instance. That's a real struggle for me because I always think I don't belong there, I don't deserve, they're judging me. I will always go to that point of they're judging me. Instead of me, it's actually really me judging them. Do you get what I'm saying to you?
Totally,
I'm doing their thinking for them. And, you know, it's always been a struggle, but I just think the older you get, and the more acceptance you get around who you are and where you come from and where you are right now, you can actually enjoy being in the moment more. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you're on a plane flying to Miami, that is, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But do you think this idea, let's stay on with money then. Let's talk about the money aspect because you brought it up. The fear of being broke, do you think that disproportionately affects boys more than girls? It shouldn't, but the way boys are raised, like in this Neanderthal provider type way, it should. Why should it worry me more than it worries Lindsay, my missus? But I bet you it does.
You know, for me, I've been broke. I've lived on the streets. I was homeless for 15 and a half years ago. I was homeless. I had no teeth. I lived on the street. Not for very long, for about 4 or 5 months. But, you know, that's long enough. And, you know, my biggest fear is actually going backwards into that area. So I am really bad with money. I will go and spend hideous amounts of money on clothes every week and I will justify it. But then when it comes to paying an electricity bill or something like that, I'm horrified by it. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh my God, £280? Do you know what I mean?
It's like your Versace suit, but you can't afford to switch the light on and look at it.
Exactly. Do you know, I get that for nothing. I get Versace for nothing, so it's fine. But you know, it's just, you know, that thinking. And it's one of my biggest fears of actually being broke. Yeah. Being broke. Do you know what I mean? It's a terrible one because I've been there.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same as you. Like, I've really hustled. Everything in my life has been a hustle. And it's just
100%.
The idea of constantly not being on that energy level of like constantly, even if I've got, it's stable, it's still like almost like the biggest addiction of my life is the hustle because I'm so terrified of not having money again.
It's of course, just, and we all are, but why do you, I know it sounds so sexist, but we've got to go there. Why does this affect men more? It should.
I don't agree. I don't think it does, actually. Like,
But
I don't know if this is like a new, again, modernist version of a female. But I'm going to say most of the women that I know and I sort of hang out with are at the very least, fully equal with their partners, if not on a bigger hustle. I mean, I've looked after every single one of my boyfriends my whole entire life.
The hustle, yes, but that's different to the fear of not having, being equal in your strength of your hustle.
Well, I'm sure, surely if there was, I've never noticed the fear in the same way that I have with my female friends.
But can I just say something? It's different for gay and straight men, are totally different, because gay men aren't providers. They've got nothing to provide for. They don't have six kids. They don't have, you know, they don't have to be the only one that works with that old school mentality of the man has to provide. And I think that's also a learned behaviour, Russell. When we were brought up, my dad was the provider in our house. My mum had a little side hustle at Buckingham Palace, but my dad was the main provider. My dad was always in charge of the TV remote. Yeah. My dad was always in charge of paying bills. Do you get what I'm saying to you? So we learn that behaviour growing up.
Exactly.
That's our learned behaviour.
How does that work in a relationship with two guys then, is it?
Well, you know, 9 out of 10 gays would rather buy Balenciaga trainers than they would pay their bills.
I feel like that's Balenciaga's new advertising campaign. Do you know that 9 out of 10 gays would rather have our trainers?
100%. You know that, on the tube. But you know what? It's like, I am a caretaker. I'm a big caretaker. I take after my dad. I have that in me. I would like to look after someone. If they want something, I'll get it for them. Because, you know, it ticks my ego. It makes my ego better. It feeds that fear of still wanting to be wanted and having a purpose. And I think that happens for a lot of gay men.
I wonder, because in my instance, my father wasn't around. So I was brought up by a mum who was a single parent. She had 3 kids, 3 girls. And she showed me the hustle. So it was like, she was the breadwinner. She was the one who had to go out and do this to keep us, you know, going.
So, Gizzy, I think I finally got a less ham-fisted way of verbalising what I'm trying to say to you. So I'm married to one of the fucking biggest hustlers on the planet. Lindsay's got 3 businesses on the go at the moment. She's like, how can we make money? How can I win? A lot of my female friends are like that, and a lot of enlightened relationships, most relationships are like that. What my female friends seem to be better at than my male friends are hustling without the pit of, I'll kill myself if it goes wrong underneath them. I think that's what I'm saying. So women hustle better without the fear,
yes,
whereas my male friends are hustling.
Okay, no, that's right.
And they're like, I'll put 300 grand into this beach club, and if it goes wrong, I'll just fucking kill myself. And that happens all the time with men.
Yeah, that is very true. I think that's well, you've worded that very well.
So the fear is what I'm talking about. I'm not, by implying that women don't have a fear of brokenness, I'm not saying they don't hustle. They hustle better than men. I'm saying that built into men, for all the reasons Tony has just described about this bad socialisation and this learnt behaviour, we're hustling without a safety net. Lindsay's safety net is, if it goes wrong, we'll find a way. We'll find a solution. It's never as bad as you think. I can sort it out.
Yeah, we'll find a
Whereas
way.
My,
that's so true.
I think a lot of men are peddling without a safety net, and they don't realise until it's too late.
Absolutely. No, I give you that completely.
Agreement. do you think that we're at the moment we've become more fearful as a nation as well, like COVID, Brexit, and all of that? I don't want to get like all political in that, but
100%. But you know, we're not going to get political. But we'd wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, put on the television, and we were pumped full of fear until we went to bed, constantly by the media on every level. You know, you had Piers Morgan shouting. Literally shouting for an hour and a half every morning. Then it went on to this morning, and everything that when you were at home during the pandemic was fear-based. They wanted to keep us in fear. We're back in it again now. Yeah. You know, we just come out of a pandemic. Everyone's scared of going back into another pandemic. We've now got monkeypox. You know, and it, you know, we're all making jokes about it. We're all doing great memes about it. But we were doing that at the start of the last pandemic.
It's almost like it's a place to hide behind in itself.
How many bat jokes did we do? How many bat jokes and Wuhan jokes and all of that stuff before suddenly we realised it was on PC and we removed it all? But you get what I'm saying to you? That fear is still being pumped through us. You know, we as a nation, they love to keep us fear-based. We live, a lot of people thrive on fear. You know, I probably play my best set when I'm more nervous about anything.
Fucking
literally, when those nerves are what keep us good at our game.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying to you? But it's how far we take those nerves and that fear. Do you know, I think fear in a lot of the stuff we do for a living is a good thing. If I wasn't feared and I was complacent, I'd probably be shit at my job.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You know, but that little bit of fear, that you probably need to move on, is when you're just like not giving any shit about it.
Oh, piece of piss. Anything that's a piece of piss is shit. Do you know what I mean? always, oh yeah, it was a piece of piss. And every day, everyone's like, oh yeah, of course it was. You know what I mean? But the more feared up I am around stuff, the better I am, the better I act, the better I perform.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about, well, it's two parts there, Kizzy. First of all, I want your opinion on whether you think we've become more fearful as a nation, but then I also want to hear how you weaponise and use fear to your advantage in your vocational pursuits.
So, yeah, I agree with Tony. Everything Tony said, is I totally agree with. We have been pumped full of it. And, you know, without getting political, it's been a way for to be controlled as a nation for a very long time. So, but in myself, I guess you get galvanised, don't you? It's, you know, I'm actually really seriously shy as well. And I think everyone in our industry, like, we all flock together because of these sort of being on slightly different planes, you know. I think it's, you know, if you're creative, you tend to sort of work. And if you're sort of like a energetic, I mean, I have ADHD, I'm pretty sure a lot of people in our industries do, you know, and you sit on a different level, and it's literally a splurge of nervous energy, you know, a lot of it. So, yeah, I just think, you know, it's really galvanizing. It makes you sort of want to, but you're forced into it. It's being forced. The reason that I'm now capable to do this is because I force myself into it every single day. Until, you know, like Tony said, you still get nervous every single day. But, you know, with me in cooking, like, one of the things that was interesting, you know, there's been a lot of people exposing my industry at the moment. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's really had to change. You know, I'm from the space where kitchens were really, really terrifying. I've worked in some of the scariest kitchens, arguably, in the world. And I was under... being orchestrated by some of the sort of most terrifying chefs. I've seen some mad shit go down in kitchens. I've seen people be shoved in bins. I've seen hot oil be thrown around. I've seen, you know, people be fully beaten black and blue by their boss, you know. And there was a side to that that made, which, you know, it's completely not okay. And this new modern take on how my industry needs to be completely not like that anymore, and all this stuff does need exposing. And
yeah, it's like a Me Too-ish type reaction.
It was, yeah. I mean, it's still going, but you know, there was an element to that where when I was a young chef, you know, 20 years ago, I would be there, you know, going to work, my heart would be beating, I'd be like having an absolute mental breakdown every single day. But as Tony said, it does, you know, it made you good. You suddenly become more acute. You're working on a sort of different level. Whereas now, I've got to be honest, in my kitchens, it's very hard to find staff who care as much as back then, where people were really, you know, cared about details and cared about messing up. Whereas now, it's a yeah, very different space, kitchens. I'm not saying it's okay, because it's completely not. But there is a space where people were just like, you know, the sort of perfectionist side of things, sort of, and people showing up, actually. Mm. People turning up to work was a... you just wouldn't have known.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's interesting because we're coming around to the point where a degree of fear is necessary in some things that we probably like. And I mean, the biggest one's got to be, and I'm addicted to the stuff, social media. The more clickable, or in my case, the where I can look for a laugh, is probably a more divisive, fear-mongering topic. I'm more guilty than most stand-ups of riding whatever hashtag is the hashtag of the day and pretending I give a shit about it because I can think of something funny or a funny impression to do or a funny take on whatever it is, monkeypox or it. Do I actually give a fuck? Do I actually care? Am I in fear? Probably not. Will it drive clicks, get divisive, fear-mongering debate?
Of course.
Probably yes. Will I sell tickets? Yes. So we come to the uncomfortable realisation that we're using this tool, social media, which has fear and division at its centre in order to work.
100%. Literally, my biggest fear is whether I'm going to get shadow banned by Instagram every day. Because, I mean, I spent the last 3 months being, like, you can't even find me half the time.
Is that what's happening? How long does that last? Because that literally happened to me last week. How'd you get rid of it?
Up to 30 days.
Is it 30 days?
Yeah, they won't tell you that either. If you ask them, they'll say that we don't shadow ban anyone. They'll remove you. So if anyone looks for you, you can't find you.
And does that pass? Does that pass naturally after 30 days? Does it?
Yeah, usually it can be anything between a week, 12 days, and a month. But basically, just it's the algorithm. So if you're posting lots of Boris Johnson jokes, for instance, that's why I always get shadow banned. If I post anything political or vaguely political, or anything with the word cocaine in it, because it appeared so many times in my posts, they literally just, the algorithm gets rid of you. So annoying.
And it's weird because it seems to favour content that does, like, monger, there's no other way of putting it, literally monger fear.
It supports the narrative, you know, constantly.
It really does. Anything with the word COVID in, they'll send you like a little, there'll be a little statement underneath. But, you know, if you ask them, why have I been shadow banned? They're like, we don't know what you're on about. We don't do that. And of course they do that, you know. But I have all the biggest meltdowns if I'm not getting likes on Instagram. If I post something that I know is going to get 40, 50,000, 100,000 likes and it's only getting 25 to 200 likes, every hour, I'm like, oh my God, I will have a meltdown. I'll ring the guys on my team and I'll be like, what's going on? Yeah. Look into it.
I did a whole redesign and I spent an absolute fortune into doing like a ton of shoes, really like making an absolute effort. And now because everything's in a frame, my normal likes are sort of, 8 to 10,000. And now it's like 100 to 200 because there's obviously something going on in that system. You're like, oh, why don't I bother being creative on this space?
Do you think it's made you more fearful, social media, Gizzy? As in the fear that Tony's just described, the fear of popularity being so instantly measurable. If we were all doing this 30 years ago, we'd all probably still be having roughly the same amount of success. But we can't log on each line and see how successful am I from 1 to 1 million.
Well, it's a mad thing because also if part of your job is making money through Instagram, you have to be very conscious of that too. And yeah, I mean, I definitely fear for, you know, followers decreasing ever. And then when they're increasing, you're like, it's okay, get your dopamine hit again. Yeah, it does take over a lot of it. Like, the thing that sort of frustrates me a bit is on a creative level. It really is as simple as that. You know, if I'm doing something which is about my food or technique or whatever, and then I get a certain amount of likes, and then if I do anything if I post a picture of me, I'll get like thousands. And it's just, I guess one of the things is when you're looking at all the other food influencers who are new and, you know, they're younger and they're able to like create a reel in 2 seconds and they're sort of keeping up with the sort of whole system. And I feel like I'm not keeping up with it anymore. So
I think it just stems back to the fact that we all want to be liked and we all want to be loved.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it completely, social media taps into that more than anything.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's human nature to want to be touched and want to be loved and want to be hugged. And when we're on places like Instagram and we suddenly become popular on those places, you know, that feeds the ego. And yet again, where does ego come from? A place of fear. So it's kind of like one big old circle constantly going around.
I don't want to run out of time. And there's obviously, I want to talk about relationships, but I think we can talk about it in one question. This definitely unites all types of men, gay, straight, and everything in between. About the fear of settling down seems to plague every man aged 70 to 70 of every sexual persuasion, that something is lost in settling down. And it's my favourite man baggage statistic. I trot it out every 4 or 5 episodes, so apologies for regular listeners. But the decade of a man's life where he is most likely to stray from a stable long-term relationship, i.e. one where he's banging love and everything, is not a man in his 20s, girls. That type of man is unreliable early on, but once you've got their heart, a man in their 20s are more faithful than a man in his 70s. A man in his 70s is most likely to go on one last tour of duty if he's straight in Vajganistan.
Kind of fair fucks, though.
But it almost seems to be an invert of the female fear of not settling down. Not in all women. We have to talk about broad trends here, and it would be obtuse to, you know, I mean, just from Sex and City to everything else, they're all about, oh my God, what if I don't find the one? And whereas you've got men in their 40s masturbating into a sock in a studio flat going, I've got another 10 years of this year, I'm happy with that.
Oh yeah, so true.
What is built into the, why are some people so scared to settle down, Tony? Is it the fear of sexual opportunity being lost? What is it?
For me, right, you're asking the wrong person, because I've spent a lifetime being a cheat. Every relationship I've ever had, I've cheated on. I had major sex addictions going on.
You're the perfect person to ask then. What are you scared of?
Yeah, I was just going to say. Yeah, tell us.
But, you know, but now I strive to settle down. I'm actually, for the first time in my life, being in a relationship where I'm not cheating and I'm not thinking of cheating. We celebrated our first year anniversary literally 2 weeks ago.
Congratulations.
No, last week. And it's so transparent. He knows everything about me. He knows my past. I told him everything. You know, I long to be with one person. Mm. I long to feel that love and that connection, because I've never had it. I've been in love with so many people in my life, but they've never been enough. And, you know, I've allowed addiction to make me stray every direction apart from the one that I need to be going in.
Yeah.
And it's always happened, and I've always allowed it. And it always happens the first month into a relationship. The first 3 weeks, 4 weeks, oh my God, this is the one. He's the one, definitely the one. And then I get home, the thought will come on me, and I'm on an app, or I go meet someone, and I'm off and running. And then what happens is that takes over. That takes precedent over everything.
That's an addiction in itself, isn't it? You know,
100% is. It's social media. It's in the palm of my hand. Mm. So it's sex addiction, media addiction, all of those addictions rolled into one. I'm getting my needs met. I'm getting my ego stroked. I'm getting, you know, and primarily all it's doing is yeah, exactly, right? But like, but at the end of the day, what it does do, if I've cheated 4 or 5 times in a day, which it goes to those extents, right, I will do that. 5 different guys in a day when I'm in that place, right? That leaves me wanting to kill myself by 7 o'clock in the evening, like any other addiction. It's like heroin. So for the last year, I've actually not been in that place for the first time in
that
my life.
That's amazing to hear.
And I am so content with being with one person and being wanting to settle down, about to go and buy another house, move into a house with him, and all of this stuff that I want to do. You know what I mean? I keep forgetting that he's like 30. You know what I mean? It's like he's 29 actually, and I'm like, let's settle down, let's get kids, and he's like, I don't want kids, and I'm like, let's get another dog, you know, all of that stuff.
Don't get addicted to dogs, Tony. Your final addiction, we found him buried under 14 chihuahuas and a Labrador. he OD'd on Labradoodles and choked on fur.
Choked on a fur ball.
I realise I'm not suggesting you are this way, but you're undeniable. most of the females I know get to their mid-30s and this fear. And being totally honest, from a straight male point of view, not me, but the men that I've known and have known in my life, the fear from men of settling down is quite a basic fear of, I want to shag loads of birds and won't be able to. I could intellectualise it more. I could pretend.
No, you don't have to. I'm there.
When a female like yourself who is empowered to not settle down, is it the same thing? You just want to be shopping at the Dick Tree forever? Or is it a different thing going on?
No, because I'm an absolute loser. My personal thing is, like, I'm the least promiscuous person in the world, but I've got my other addiction, shall we say. So I don't know. Like, I think I've got girlfriends for sure who I definitely think get into that headspace where it's almost like the box ticking thing becomes. But also, you've got to remember, we've got an enormous thing inside us, which is, you know, biological clock, things like that that tick. And as much as I personally don't relate to that, I definitely know that women do. You know, most, I'm going to say 90%, 95% of women are concerned about not being able to have children anymore. So, you know, for me, it's like I have the maternal instinct of being a mother, but I don't necessarily need to have the child. So I'd really, you know, I'd love to adopt eventually, maybe, with the right person. I don't know. Like, I mean, there, it goes to that question that I have women who almost get to a point where they exude a sort of weird energy, actually, and it sort of inhibits that ability to get into any kind of relationship because they're so focused on ticking that box. And it's a real shame. But, you know, then you've also got the other side, me, which actually doesn't give a shit. But then I, you know, have such a huge fear of abandonment that I'll end up being with someone, at, you know, my, I've got an addiction to going out with addicts. And and this fear of abandonment that I'll let them treat me really badly because and with that with extreme addict behavior because I'm too scared of them leaving me. Does that make sense? It's not even because it's the right person.
That totally makes sense, of course.
Sense of abandonment.
I mean, I feel like we could talk for another hour, but we are out of time. It's been so brutally brilliant and honest. Thank you both. I mean, obviously, go to wherever you can find Gizzy Erskine and learn all about food writing. Are you cooking anywhere? You're going to start a restaurant? You're going to open a business? I feel like you should.
I've got seven businesses.
Yes, no, but I mean, I feel like where can we find you at the station cooking? Like, where can we eat your food?
Obviously, it's too complicated at the moment for me to go into. But yeah, I've got loads of stuff. Just follow me.
Well, stalk your social media, shadow banned or not. And also, people, please, Tracy Emin have said of this book, I Don't Take Requests, if you want to change your life but can't, read this book. I have my copy delivered today. I've only dipped in and out of the first chapter. It's going with me on holiday. It looks like an absolutely fantastic read. So make sure you get DJ Fat Tony's I Don't Take Requests. We've already had a flavour of the sort of life you've led, so I can only imagine some of the hardcore shit that's in there. Boom! We are done. Thank you very much for listening. If you've come here as fans, either of Tony or Gizzy, by all means, hang around, hit subscribe, do leave a review, because I have this fear that I won't be properly liked and supported by the people that have downloaded the podcast, and I just can't get over it. Right, I'm off for a wank and a cake, because I'm addicted to both. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.